The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
Welcome to The Lead here on The Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, and joining me in studio is Dr. Sadrach Shoemaker, a recently appointed media ombudsman of Namibia, working under the auspices of the Editors Forum of Namibia. Doctor, welcome to the studio. Let's perhaps start out with just a brief role of the media ombudsman. It is an attempt for the media industry to self-regulate. It's a freedom of speech is an enormous part of what has driven largely the printed industry, the press, and more over the last two decades, broadcast sector as well. And so it's an important facet of our freedom of speech and our democracy in Namibia that media is free to speak as it sees fit. However, like any game, there are some rules. So perhaps just give us an oversight of the role, as you see it, of the media ombudsman.
Thank you so much. First of all, let me just start with the appointment. For you to be appointed as a media ombudsman, you should be, you know, a Namibian, okay? And you should have, you know, extensive experience with regard to the media landscape within Namibia and also outside. And also you should have knowledge about, you know, all the other factors, be it laws and policies that affect, you know, media operations, you know, in our country. But, you know, who is a media, you know, ombudsman? And this is an official, it's a person that's being, you know, tasked with the responsibility of, one, receiving media complaints from the public, not only just receiving them, but also reviewing and also, you know, investigating this complaint to see, okay, who is at fault and why is this specific person is raising this specific complaint and how can we resolve that specific complaint. Another thing is that the person is trying to ensure that, you know, an organization or that media organization is operating fairly and also, you know, is, you know, operating ethically. Another very important thing about the media ombudsman is that the media ombudsman represents the public interest by addressing grievances against media agencies. But, you know, when we are saying, you know, grievances, I am not here to act as, you know, a trade union. Probably, you know, to talk about the issues of, you know, dismissals and, you know, workplace, you know, environment, unless, you know, that specific issue that has to do with, you know, dismissals. It's because of the content, media content that was generated and shared, and it raises queries. And now, as an official responsible for that specific role, I have to come in and, you know, mediate between, you know, the public or the citizen and that specific media houses. Okay, but I just want to briefly, you know, take you to, you know, a specific roles that I have to play as a media ombudsman. One of them is that, you know, as a media ombudsman, I need to handle complaints. Complaints in the sense that, you know, I need to receive and evaluate complaints from the public regarding content published or broadcasted, you know, at the media agency. So that's one. Secondly, I need, you know, to investigate issues. And these issues, you know, are issues that result, you know, from, you know, various editorial practices that are not that good, maybe, or they are not in favor of the society, or they are portraying, you know, a wrong, you know, perception about what happened, you know, actually before that specific content was, you know, generated and being shared with the public. Also, you know, media ombudsman is responsible for recommending resolutions by, you know, resolving disputes. And this dispute can be either maybe, you know, the solutions can be issuing corrections, it can be retractions, or probably, you know, apologies when necessary. So as a media ombudsman, you will see at the end of the day, you make a decision and you, you know, propose or recommend. Look at the word, you are just recommending, you know, and usually the media houses are not really obliged, you know, sometimes, you know, to enforce that specific decision. They may not, you know, enforce that specific decision because we are not yet empowered, you know, to, you know, enforce that. The second last, you know, responsibility or role of a media ombudsman is to promote ethical standard, which is more, you know, very important, that concerns about journalistic, you know, practices, ensuring that media organizations adhere to the ethical guidelines, issues of, you know, truthfulness, issues of independence, impartiality, issues of, you know, accuracy, So these things, we have to make sure that, you know, media professionals, media houses are adhering to this, you know, ethical standard. And lastly, enhancing transparency. As a media ombudsman, I will share my findings, my reports with the public. I will not do it, you know, behind closed doors, but I have to do it, you know, publicly. So that's now, you know, who is a media ombudsman and what is that thing that they are doing for the society.
Okay, you've covered a lot of ground.
Yes.
In cricket, we have the third umpire. In rugby, it's the TMO. And in soccer, it's VAR. And you're effectively acting like a television match official where life happens in real time and every now and again someone gets to go, hang on, I'm not sure that was correct. Can we go and have a relook at that? Mm. But you have also covered the fact that media companies are not necessarily obligated to respect the decisions of the ombudsman. Mm-hmm. And it's perhaps worthwhile just raising that under the auspices of the previous ombudsman, there was in fact court cases emanating out of findings from the ombudsman that seemed to indicate that the NBC certainly, as a major member of the media sector, didn't agree with the findings of the ombudsman and was happy to use the courts to ventilate that. I mean, does that cast some degree of doubt on the role, or does that just make the challenge even bigger?
Definitely it might, you know, cause, you know, some few questions and also, you know, the issues of trust. And that's the reason why we are thinking of like, okay, in what way can we make this office to be, you know, an office that has got, you know, final power and mandate so that, you know, the decision that's coming or recommendation that are coming from this office are bind, and at least now the media houses will be, you know, obliged, you know, to effectively, you know, implement them. So it will cost, but to certain extent, if the decisions were arrived at, you know, properly, procedures were followed, everybody was heard, and, you know, it is clear who is at wrong, then definitely I don't think that there would be an issue of mistrust. So because what we are looking for is, you know, trust and credibility and how this media, you know, are operating. The main aim is for this media not to affect, you know, our core values of democracy, yep. The issue of, you know, freedoms, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of associations, and also, you know, the press, you know, freedoms for the media houses and also for the individuals. So to me, it's like, okay, if the person who is wronged by the media fully understood, you know, that the whole process was followed and they can see, you know, the final decisions, even if that media house did not, you know, implement that specific recommendation, then they will be able to say that, yes, the office have done their part and now I am here and I am comfortable and I know what happened to me.
Okay, so let's just perhaps talk about your own career. You've been involved in education pretty much since the onset. You've worked for both universities in senior roles, and you currently act as a senior lecturer in journalism, media technology, and political communication at NUST. So perhaps just how do you feel that your experience as an educator in this space arms you to the challenges of being a modern media ombud?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I would like, you know, to take you back. When I started with my career, I started as a secondary school teacher. I taught at several schools here. And, you know, one of the core subjects that I have, you know, taught at secondary school is computer studies. All along, I've been dealing with, you know, digital media, digital whatever. That's what I have been teaching. And this is such a time that, you know, I found myself at the university. So, again, I am equipped with both, you know, the ICT skills or media skills. I'm equipped with socioeconomic, you know, exposure, and I know what, you know, society, what that society need for them to be in harmony. And what also made my, you know, experience to be more relevant to this position is that, you know, for the past, you know, 17, you know, years, I've been involved in adult education setting where I was playing a role of being an adult educator. And the adult educator and community development, I have to go out there, educate, you know, the public on certain issues. And that's what I am going to do. The primary role here, the very first thing that I have to do in this office is to do public education and awareness, and have been doing it. So my exposure to all these things strengthened me and gave me that capability to be able now to go and, you know, teach or educate, you know, the fellow adults out there, whether they went to school or did not go to school.
So, I mean, you've brought up the role of ICT skills, and I think that this is critical. We live in a world now where certainly 30 years ago, it was simple to understand what media was and what media wasn't, and most people had the same sort of idea in mind. Fast forward to a world today where the distinctions between platform, between channel, between brand, between output you control and output you don't control, and between who sees what, are now incredibly complicated. And speaking as someone who works inside a media organization, it often feels like the rules aren't level. The megatechs can pretty much do anything they want, even at the highest levels. We know that Meta and Google are under DOJ investigation and under high court action in America. But it still sort of feels like if America can't rein in these platforms, what hope do we have? And we have seen how some of these platforms can be used from bad actors to disseminate misinformation, disinformation, fiction, yes. As the case may be, where it makes it very hard for people to trust things. And naturally, free speech reigns on the idea that there are some standards that can be trusted. How do you see over the next 5 years your role contributing to a world in which we increase trust and not decrease it?
One thing that we really need to know right from the beginning with technology is that technology is here to make life easier for all of us, be it, you know, media professionals, be it, you know, ordinary citizens, be it me as a media ombudsman or as a professional, you know, wherever I find myself.
Or a criminal.
Yes. So technology is here to make life easier for all of us. You know, purposely, we need to use, you know, technology, you know, productively, professionally, and in an acceptable manner. So the first thing that one needs to do is to make sure that, you know, you have, you know, the required skills, you have the required, you know, ICT tools. So for you to be able now to perform that specific, you know, duty, and you need to receive proper education and guidance on how better you can make use of that specific tool or ICT tool to make sure that, you know, even if you know this ICT tool, for example, AI, that you can use, you know, generative AI. It can be used by newsrooms now to generate content, you know, very nice pictures, and sometimes without consent, without verifying them, then they will share them to look like typically it is coming from, you know, from that specific community, but it is not adhering to the, you know, cultural and traditional norms of that specific, you know, culture, because it just depends on how that AI was, you know, trained or the algorithm that was used. So what I am foreseeing is that, you know, with my role, I also need to be equipped with relevant, you know, ICT, you know, equipment. The skills I have, but I know that there are certain applications that, you know, an office like this one needs, of which right now we do not have those specific ICT equipment. If we happen to have them, then we'll be able now to detect all these complaints about media houses from elsewhere, especially from different social media platforms. If I can have access to this specific ICT equipment that I can use now to analyze these complaints, rather than waiting until such a time that the public will bring, you know, these, you know, complaints to my attention or to my office, then it will help me to do things faster. But, you know, the challenge is, how will I acquire that? Because of funds, how will I acquire that? Because, you know, we don't have, you know, a dedicated budget, you know, for those specific tasks. But, you know, it's open to the public and also to the community out there. Those who sees, you know, the relevance of this office, they may even donate those specific, you know, equipment, you know, to us, then we'll be able. So what I'm foreseeing is that, you know, at the end of the day, you will be able to do things remotely. You'll be able to do digital analysis of all these, you know, complaints that we have. Then you pick them automatically. And from there, you'll be able to even to reach out to the person that is concerned or covered by that specific, you know, issue. And you'll be able now to tell them this is how you were supposed to go about it so that you can raise a complaint. And we'll follow the complaint procedures as laid out in our, you know, code of ethics and conduct is prepared, you know, by the Editors Forum of Namibia.
Okay. So important to once again just point out that the role of the Media Ombudsman is part of an organization that is funded by the media sector. The media sector has been under enormous financial pressure since just before COVID and hasn't really recovered from those. We've seen enormous flights of capital happening towards the social media platforms, Facebook, Google, and increasingly TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn. which also served to undermine the funding ability of this particular role. Which brings an important consideration to bear is what is, in very early in your role, and perhaps unfair to ask, but what is the link with government at the moment in terms of government supporting the idea that media can be self-regulated, whilst it not necessarily being in government's always best interests? Certainly politicians are fans of free speech on the campaign trail, less so once elected. What is the link with government that you see emerging out of your term as ombudsman?
Although it is a little bit, you know, early, we can use the other language, like, okay, this, it will be premature for me now to say it, because I still need to familiarize myself with, you know, where the government is. But what I've seen is, you know, there will be a need for us now to move. Probably we can move in the direction of like other countries like South Africa, that have got, you know, the media, you know, council that is, you know, responsible for all these roles, like what I'm playing. In India, they also have, you know, a press, you know, office, you know, a press council, or, you know, in India, that is playing the same role that we are playing here as a media ombudsman, and it's getting funds from the government directly. But, you know, the challenge that I have with that, if we happen to say, okay, government should, you know, directly, you know, fund us, then it will also affect our, you know, independent, you know, and impartiality, you know, function. How will you play that and balance that? On this case, you are funded. On this case, then you are speaking the truth. So it will affect us. But if we really would like to have, you know, more funds, maybe we can move toward that specific direction. But so many things need to be done, because we also need to revisit our, you know, the several policies, especially, you know, the Communication Act. We need to revisit it. We need to revisit, you know, the Data Protection Bill or Act. We need to revisit so many of them so that, you know, they will be able not to be in line with what is happening here. But, you know, it is too early. I will still have to study that. But what I'm seeing is that, you know, government, yes, is not that, negative toward the role. They can see the importance of the role. I think it's just a matter of us now speaking to them as a stakeholder, as a major stakeholder, and one of the major, you know, clients, you know, where there are a lot of people that are working, you know, under them. So we need to engage them. And that engagement, that's what I am going to do right now, especially in the first year. And, you know, maybe in the second year, we'll see what will happen.
I'm speaking to Dr. Satrach Shoemaker, the recently appointed media ombudsman here in Namibia. Doctor, perhaps just in closing, you're a week into the role. You would have interviewed quite heavily for it, and there would have been obviously a number of questions like these being thrown at you. But in any new role, it's important to try and identify what is achievable and what is not achievable. So perhaps I can just ask, in the short term, as you look ahead perhaps to the next 3 or 4 months, what is the low-hanging fruit that you think can be plucked to establish many of the things that you've been speaking about?
The very first thing, and in these upcoming months, you know, public education and awareness. That's one thing that I have to do, to make sure that people understand the role of this specific office. And where am I, and where am I located? When I'm saying I am referring to the Office of the Media Ombudsman. That is the primary goal that I need to, you know, embark upon now for the next maybe 3 months or four, to make sure that, you know, I have also proper consultation with relevant stakeholders, be it, you know, media houses, management teams, you know, the journalists themselves or media practitioners themselves, you know, reach out to possible stakeholders like, you know, the MICT, Ministry of Information, Communication and Technology, CRAN, which is, you know, a very important, you know, also stakeholder in this case. So I have to do proper, you know, public education campaign and awareness. And with that, once, you know, people knows and understand, you know, the role that I'm playing, from there they will start now having that trust, and they can always come forward and they will see what will be the outcome afterwards. So I have to start with that first before I go to many other, you know, things. But the emphasis is also to for them to understand how a media ombudsman, you know, contribute, you know, to direct and inclusive democracy in this country. Because, you know, it will, you know, empower you, it will protect you against, save you from, you know, misinformation, biasness from the media houses. And also equally, it's not only the public that will be saved, even, you know, the media will also be, you know, saved from because they are doing self-regulations before they pass on or before they share the news. They will also be saved from, you know, mistrust. And, you know, whereby the public will be like, okay, we are not going to mistrust, or they will hate that specific, you know, media for nothing. Just because of a simple, you know, error, editorial error that was, you know, that was made during the production of that specific script. So all these things will contribute.
Well, Doctor, we wish you the very best. We're obviously very involved participants in this particular role, having to fight on a daily basis for trust and credibility in an increasingly difficult technology space to navigate. We wish you the very best with your role.
Thank you so much, and all the best. And when they have issues and you have complaints or something that's not clear to you about this role, please reach out to me. My details, you know, will be shared all over, you know, on different platforms. Thank you so much.
For any complaints, please contact the media ombudsman, Dr. Sadrach Shiomeka, by sshiomeka@yahoo.com or on his cell phone 081-611-9035.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.